The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right. So the fill-ins start today. Dwayne Brown's not one of them, though. Let's do this. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. Jermaine Every joins us today.
What's up, Fred?
We got to get a nickname for you. Jong Lee is the master. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at the underscore Jermaine, correct?
Beautiful.
J-E-R-M-A-I-N-E.
Yes, sir.
At Jong Snow with a zero, not an O. At Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Tuesday when usually everybody's in a bad mood. Don't be. We're gonna have some fun. And right off the bat, Lamont tells me you can talk Thrones, so we'll be fine. Been really excited about. I'm really excited about the shows this week because we got an all-star lineup and Jermaine, who big part of Hustletown, which is on temporary hiatus right now. So wanted to get you back in front of the people.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Be good to. Get our man Craig back in business here pretty soon, too.
Yeah, that'd be real good because I kind of miss his fiery attitude. I want to call him this week and give him a hot take just to hear him go off.
Just get him started on Twitter.
Just to get him started.
Just tweak him on Twitter. You could do that. But we got a fun show today. Jerome Solomon will join us at 5:30, as he always does on Tuesdays. And Chris Whitmire is going to come in at 5 o'clock and bring us some alcohol. So how about that?
Nice.
And we're going to... Talk a little bit about what's going on at the distillery, but also this poker tournament that we're doing Saturday night. And as a matter of fact, I just retweeted the information on that. If you are looking for a fun thing to do that will help a great cause, please get signed up now. Running out of spots, and would love to see you guys there. Might even be at the table with me and Chris Whitmire. Might even happen. So,
I knew how to play poker, I'd come.
You don't have to know how to play poker, because... Basically, your entry gets you all the Damaris barbecue you want to eat, all the Carbach you want to drink, and you have a good time, and you help a good cause. And Touchdown Club, if you're not familiar with them, they do a lot of great stuff in the community for especially schools that can't afford equipment. You know, they donate stuff, so they're really cool. Well, I guess let's start it off with Dwayne Brown not showing up today, officially being put on the did not report list.
And, shocker.
Yeah, this is one of those I kind of have mixed feelings about because from Dwayne's perspective, this is the only leverage he has.
Right.
He's the best offensive lineman they have on an offensive line that is not very good. So I don't really blame him for not showing up. And I don't need Dwayne Brown there for all of camp. I just need him in shape when the season starts.
Exactly. He's a 31-year-old veteran coming off of a pretty horrible injury. So if he's going to miss some camp, if he misses all of camp, maybe if he makes it in for the last preseason game or two, even if he doesn't make a preseason game, I'm okay with that because they've held veterans out before that are healthy scratches and haven't played in any preseason games, notably Jonathan Joseph and I believe Vince Wilfork a couple years ago. So for him to miss camp and use this as his leverage, I don't blame him at all. I'm all for it.
And I do think the team ought to do something for him in this case. I mean, I know he's got two more years.
Right.
But
the whole narrative of they've only done this twice before with JJ and Andre – what the hell do you think Dwayne Brown is in terms of team legacy as the team's best offensive lineman ever? And I know that may not be saying much because their offensive line traditionally hasn't been as good. But, I mean, when you look at Dwayne Brown's body of work, just pay the man. Make him happy. Guarantee at least half of his salary this year and partial next year. Or say, hey, we'll guarantee half of it this year. We'll renegotiate next year. Do something for him.
Just tear it up. Give him a three-year deal that gives him a signing bonus.
Exactly.
And you got him for one more year and just make the last year one that's not very punitive to the team. I think everybody'd be happy. Yeah. I think if you gave him a decent signing bonus on top of what he's making, and they've got cap room to do that. They're not in bad shape.
They have plenty of cap room. They have a lot of maneuverability that they can do. there's going to be a time where other guys are going to look at this and they're going to say, you know what, for the people who say this could go down a slippery slope and you know, what are you showing the other players? You're showing the other players that, hey, if you're a veteran on this team, you know, you've meant so much to this franchise over the course of your career. You've done so much for this franchise. We're going to take care of you. That's what you would show the other players. By not taking care of Dwayne Brown and guaranteeing at least something over the last few years of this contract, that's showing the players, hey, they may not take care of me, so I need to get all I can get when I can get it.
Now, the flip side is they've given contracts before that wound up backfiring, Matt Schaub, which they didn't need to do, which True. Is why I'm okay with Hopkins not getting his deal yet, because especially coming off the year he had last year,
right?
I'd like a prove it year from him, so I'm okay with that one. But Brian Cushing's deal, you know, D'Amico Ryan's, I mean, they've had some deals like that you gave them, and rewarding your guys, and haven't necessarily worked out. Now Cushing can still play, but he's certainly not the player that you gave that contract to.
Not at all. He's a two down guy at best, and just his lateral movement, lateral quickness over the years has declined dramatically. That's why you brought in, drafted a Bernardrick McKinney. That's why you drafted a Zach Cunningham. That's why you're trying to bring in a Zach Orr and things like that, because you know Cushing is on his last legs, literally.
Jesus asked, does Dwayne Brown start either in Oakland or Dallas? Yeah, he's that good. He's the only one on that line that starts in either of those places.
Exactly. I think he's one of the only linemen that this team has that'll start anywhere else in the league, period.
Yeah, you could move him to right tackle. And there's plenty of places that everybody would love to have that guy. And the reality is, you know, the rest of that line are huge question marks. Now, obviously, you like what you had on Mance last year at center, but theoretically, that job should go to Martin.
Yes.
Suofilo, who knows? And the rest of the line, and right tackle, to me, I have no idea who's going to be playing right tackle at this stage. And I don't trust any of the guys they have on the roster.
No. Bringing in Brino Giacomini is just like it's like if you need stitches and you put a Band-Aid on it. You know, you may stop some of the bleeding, but you won't stop all of it, and it's still going to be a blood mess everywhere. So there's nothing out there. The only thing that I can see that the Texans are hoping for is that some other team that has some decent linemen cut them for cap casualties or what have you in the next couple of weeks over the preseason, and they're able to sign one. I mean, last year, I believe it was the Bears who picked up, I think it was TJ Young from the Falcons. I mean, no, not the Falcons, the Packers. So, I mean, there's always that one wing and a prayer, but you can't hope on a wing and a prayer. You have to be more active and more persistent in your draft and in free agency.
713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And your Astros continue to roll right along, and I'm kind of curious to get your thoughts on them as constructed.
Honestly, I'm starting to get a little bit nervous leading up to the trade deadline. Will they or won't they? This whole talk about Justin Verlander, I'm kind of for it and I'm kind of not. It'd be great to have a pitcher with his experience, his pedigree, a guy who eats up innings, gets stronger almost as the game goes on, you know, has real electric stuff. But the money that he's owed over the rest of this year and the next couple of years is a lot.
And yeah, it goes to $28 million in the last year of the deal. So you'd have 2 years of basically paying $28 million.
Right. Supposedly the Tigers are saying they'll pick up the rest of his contract for this year, which is great. But aren't you going to have to re-sign Dallas Keuchel, Jose Altuve, you know, some of these other guys that are going to be coming up, George Springer? They're going to be coming up for contracts in the next few years. Carrying that contract, what's the timeline is what I want to know as to when they're going to have to force to re-sign these guys, and is there going to still be Verlander's contract still on the books?
Well, basically, with Altuve and Correa, the main guys, you're looking at 2020. So he wouldn't be on the books at that point. But you are going to have to sign some guys sooner than that. And the thing is, to me, it's easy for me to sit here and spend the man's money and just say, you know what? Okay, you don't have a salary cap. Take it on. If you have a chance to win the World Series, and this guy can help you. But if it keeps you from signing somebody later, I just don't know that would necessarily be the case. I think if they're not afraid to spend money, then they should be able to keep these guys. Now, I'm coming around on, there's not a lot of names out there that I'm okay with giving up a bunch of prospects for, especially since it seems like everybody's interested in Sonny Gray. So your cost is going to be fairly high.
Right.
Even though I'm in go for it mode. But a Verlander, it's not going to cost you much of a prospect. What it's going to cost you is money. And if you're not afraid to spend money, then go for it. And if you are, you might not want to do that.
The biggest thing is, though, is that Verlander seems to be more of a salary dump than a guy who's underperforming and we want to get rid of him and just get what we can get for him. typically salary dumps don't cost you that much, like you said, in prospects. If you're in win now mode, just do it. Because how many times the last time this team sniffed the World Series was in 2005. That was 12 years ago. They've been in the dumps ever since. They had to go through the tanking period in order to get out of the Drayton McClain, put a Band-Aid on it. We can still make it there, you know, giving Carlos Lee all that kind of money, all that crap. Enough of that. You have a young team who can win and win big over the next at least 3 to 4 years. Just do it. Who cares if you get rid of the next whoever? I don't care. Win one and then go from there.
Yeah, we've kind of gone through some of these guys who were considered untouchable prospects and how many of them have not worked out when they got to the majors. And to me, part of the reason for having the farm system is to have guys to move, to improve and try to win now. And the trap I'm worried they're going to fall into is, look how good we are right now. We don't need another pitcher.
Exactly. That's the thing that has me nervous going into the trade deadline. I really hope that, you know, Jeff Luhnow and the powers that be over there off of Crawford just pull the trigger. Just do it. I mean, you're not going to find yourself in this position very often. Look at the Marlins, perfect example. They won a World Series in 97, tore it down, rebuilt it. They didn't get back to one until, what, it was 2003 or so? 6 years later, they won it all, tore it down, and rebuilt it. They haven't been back since. I mean, you look at cross sports, Dan Marino. When he went to that Super Bowl earlier in his career, he even said it himself. He said, I wasn't too worried about it because I thought I'd be back. He never got close to coming back. You're not going to get this chance too often. This town hasn't seen a championship since 95. I mean, give the people what they want. Get another pitcher. Hell, if you got to get rid of a few more prospects to add to that bullpen, do that too. But, I mean, as far as position players are concerned, you're good to go there. There's depth there. Your pitching staff and your bullpen needs help. Go and get it.
Yeah, and, hey, the Astros have been alive longer than I have, and in my lifetime it hasn't happened. So, to me, go for it. And this is one of the best teams that I've seen them put together. And they're exciting to watch, man. It was fun last night watching them beat up on Phillies pitchers, even with the long-ass rain delay.
I knew it was a long rain delay when I dozed off, I woke up, and the game wasn't on replay. It was still the same game going. I knew that something was going on.
And this is how pathetic I am. During the rain delay, I'm watching that stupid Heartland Poker they were showing. Uh-huh. And all I could think about was, oh, my God, these guys are awful. After watching the World Series for the last couple weeks, I'm watching Heads Up, and this guy is folding everything. I'm like, oh, I want to scream at him. Dude, what are you doing? All right, quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
The station that brought you Dream Crushers, the pepper spray incident,
not once,
and male golfer, female golfer food. We celebrate 10 years.
Got it in my mouth.
Thank you, Houston.
Thank you.
ESPN 97.5 is 10. Warehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. And of course, somebody has to, you left them out. Houston Dynamo won back-to-back championships in 2006 and 2007.
I mean major pro sports, okay? Sports that most people care about. I'm sorry, soccer is just not there. So until it gets there, sit down and shut up. Good job, Dynamo, but I'm sorry.
I think soccer in general, MLS is just, we've talked about this before, it's if it were the best league in the world, it'd be a big deal.
Right, but we're talking English Premier League, Serie A, Bundesliga over in Germany. Yes, I do like soccer. I'm just saying. Major sports in this country. But it's just not there yet.
I mean, I root for them. I want them to do well. I enjoy going to Dynamo games.
Right. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. Soccer fans are some of the most passionate, or I'll probably say the most passionate fans, I would say, behind they're the most passionate. I would say European basketball fans are second close to soccer fans.
I think it's Europeans in general. I think their lives are so miserable over there that that's all they have is their soccer teams.
Oh my God, it's crazy. I know a few
piss
guys.
Piss off all my European friends.
I know a few guys that I know that I'm related to, or friends of mine that have gone overseas and played basketball, or they went gone to the soccer games over there and whatnot. They say those fans are so intense. A guy that I know back in Africa, he said that if that's your team and your team's colors are like, let's say, black and yellow, your house is black and yellow, your furniture is black and yellow. I mean, they're psycho.
I kind of like that. I appreciate that. Jermaine Avery filling in today. AJ is in off in Seattle, and we'll be back a week from Friday, so we'll have a lot of folks filling in, and very happy to have Jermaine here. You can hear him on Hustletown when that cranks back up with our buddy Craig Shelton. And if you want to get in, you know the number. I was gonna throw a few questions at you, though, just so the people can get to know Jermaine a little bit.
Let's go. Shoot.
So, Game of Thrones guy?
Definitely. Hardcore. I'll go back and watch each episode at least two or three times before the next one comes out.
I mean, your best sport, well, when I hear you, you're pretty good at every sport. If I
try.
If you were going to get hired by one network to do one sport, which one would it be?
NFL.
That would have been my guess.
Easily. I'm such a film geek. I'll study game film and, you know, just break down different stuff and try to learn as much as I can. It's just a passion of mine that I've had since I was a kid. And it was the one sport that was the hardest for me to learn how to play. So that's what basically attracted me to it, because it was the biggest challenge.
How'd you get into doing radio?
Back in 2009, interesting story of John and Lance were doing a remote at Nick's place. I don't know if I could
shocker
that, John. But I did.
Yeah, you can say that.
And
we love Nick's place.
I was with a buddy of mine, and he was like, man, you should go up and talk to him. You should talk to him. So I ended up talking to Lance, and he was like, hey, you know, you're pretty, you know your stuff. And then had a conversation with David Nuno. One thing led to the next, and they asked me to start doing a video series with them for Texans games. So I started doing that, and then Ken Hoffman wanted to have me on his show, and it led to an ongoing bit on his show that I was his quote-unquote legal representation, and we would do all kinds of crazy stuff, like trivia games with strippers and Playboy Playmates and all kind of stuff, and it's just how one thing led to the next, and that's how I got started.
Yeah, and you're going to be doing some stuff for SportsMap here, which is launching in September.
Yes.
Hopefully September 1st.
Can't wait.
I can't either.
Can't wait.
It's what I've been spending most of my day working on today. But it's going to be a great, great website, and I'm looking forward to getting that thing launched, and just some of the things that we're going to be doing are it's really cool that David Gal's basically allowing us to do some of the things we're going to do, because it's going to be the best sports site in the city, and I'm going to make it – I hope it's the best one in the state. And eventually, hopefully, we'll be statewide. But right now, we're going to focus on Houston, and we got great people. So,
yeah, it's going to be fun. I can't wait. I was honored to even be asked to be a part of it. So, can't wait to see what we roll out.
Yeah, you already got a pretty good article for the people that will be up at launch on that. I think people will find interesting about the worst contracts in Houston history. It's a good topic.
I like the honorable mention part. I want to add to that, but I just threw those two out there. But, yeah, I may add some more to it.
713-780-ESPN. So I guess there's a rumor running around Twitter that Carmelo is going to be traded by 4:45 today. Jong, have you seen that? Because I've gotten a bunch of texts about it.
No.
Yeah.
When has that ever happened?
Never.
Like, this guy's going to get traded or cut by this time?
That rumor bats below the Mendoza line. It hardly ever happens like that whenever they say, oh, well, by this day, or I want to get this done by this day or this time, or I'm not negotiating with the team during the season. Yeah, right. That hardly ever happens.
Well, we shall see. We'll be on air. So if it does, we'll have plenty to talk about.
Yeah, I'm going to keep this website open that I normally check for NBA rumors. They're pretty good about it. Hoops hype.
Yeah, if Woj were to tweet something out, I might buy it. He's pretty good at that. So
yeah,
and he's been on top of stuff. So it's like anything else. You have to have your trustworthy sources.
Yeah, you do. Because there's too many people that get fooled by, I can't remember, it was a while back, somebody got fooled by a fake Adam Schefter
account. Yeah.
Horrible. I mean, the Twitter has a little blue check verification thing. I mean, just look for the damn blue check. Don't be stupid.
Oh, and when legitimate people pick it up and run with it, that's when it gets bad.
Oh man, and they if they don't retweet it, all they basically do is copy and paste and rearrange the words and whatnot. And when they tweet it out and then somebody else retweets it, you know how that firestorm starts.
So I'll squeeze in a quick phone call. George, you're on the Blitz. Go.
You there?
Yep.
Sports?
Sports team, man.
Hey, well, on the worst contract in Houston history, I hope Ryan Anderson was on that list. But anyway, yeah, I was calling to see what y'all's thoughts were on the Nets and Trailblazers trade today with Alan Crabb's salary. It seems like a salary dump. And just seeing if y'all thought that would help facilitate the three-way deal. I'll hang up and listen.
Supposedly, that deal was like the first domino in what many speculate could be more to follow. But I don't tend to read into anything until I see the bigger dominoes fall. I mean, when you see a small domino fall, that could be for one reason or another. You can't just read into it and speculate and start coming up with your rumors and theories and, you know, just leave the tinfoil hat off for a second and wait for something else. Wait for another shoe to drop before you just start to speculate further down the line.
I really want to buy a tinfoil hat one of these days. I think it'd be cool to have.
You know, I thought about making one because whenever I go to the barbershop, I hear some of the most outlandish things. But I think the most outlandish thing, sports take, I've heard in the last couple of weeks, and this is a guy I consider my brother. We're not blood brothers, but we grew up together. He said that he thinks the new Pelicans lineup is one of the best in the NBA, and they have a chance to take down the Warriors.
So what was he smoking before then, and can I get some?
I don't know. I told him he needs to be drug tested, and he shouldn't be putting stuff like that on Facebook because he may lose his job. His exact post was Rajon Rondo, Drew Holiday, Solomon Hill, Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins. Best starting lineup in the league to me if they stay healthy. I feel this team can beat anyone on any night if they stay healthy. Possible finals contenders? Question mark? I believe so.
Well, I respectfully disagree, sir.
I called him a few names that I can't say on the radio because FCC regulations and people from church are listening. But, yeah, I called him several different things. And he and I are on that level where I can talk to him like that, but I told him he's crazy. Don't put stuff like that on Facebook because people are really going to think something's wrong with him.
Lamont brings up a really good point when you were talking about your story, how you got started. So just about every person in Houston that got in radio seems like it begins with, well, Lance Zierlein, John Granato. I've said many times that Granato's the guy who got me into radio along with Lance. I mean, when I left the Chronicle, he was the first guy to call me.
A big part of that, like you said, I wrote the article for Culture Map. Honestly, Lamont and Craig really were the ones to help me hone my craft as far as the writing is concerned. I have to really give those guys their props also, because if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be as quote-unquote polished as I am now on radio and as far as writing is concerned. So big ups to those two guys, because if it wasn't for them helping me and walking me through certain things and showing me little tips and hints here and there, I wouldn't be nearly as good as I am now.
So I'm going to ask you a few more questions. So you a whiskey guy or a beer guy?
Both, but okay. I prefer whiskey.
All right. Are you a craft beer nerd like we are, or are you just cool with whatever?
Oh, whatever. I like craft beers. I like different flavors and stuff like that. I'm not picky when it comes to beer.
What do you do for fun when you're not working your butt off?
I play Madden a lot, and I'm one of the best that you'll probably ever hear. That's a fact, and I have trophies to prove it. So nice. If you want me on Madden, get at me. It's Jermaine Every, all lowercase, on the PS4. Send me a friend request, and I'll be more than happy to kick your face in.
So mine's NHL 17 is my game.
See, I haven't played a hockey game in a while, but the graphics and the gameplay of all these new sports games make me want to play it more. But I know the more sports games I get, the more and more I'll play, and the less time I'll dedicate to everything else.
Yeah, and it's funny because there was a time I was playing, well, when I was just doing the show.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'd go to the gym in the morning and just sit there and play Xbox until it was time to come in. and it's funny, since Super Bowl week, I think, I haven't played anything. And I was looking at my Xbox today going, damn, man, I want to. And I was going to sit down and start playing something, and then something came up, and it's like, damn.
One thing will lead to the next, and it'll be 3-4 in the morning, and I got to get up and go to work, and I haven't slept. But, yeah, that's typically how it ends up going.
All right. We are going to take a very quick break. It is a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
97.5.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. No A.J. today. Actually, no A.J. for the next 9 days, 8 days. Jermaine Avery filling in today, part of Team Hustletown.
Fred just couldn't get away from large, bald, bearded guys co-hosting with him, so that's why he had me here.
Can you beat the crap out of people, too? Because that would be useful.
You know what? Honestly, I like the way it feels when a person just chokes out in your hands or in your arms. It kind of gives you a little bit of a rush. I'm a little sadistic like that.
All right. That's good to have. I always enjoy having someone who can beat the crap out of people, just in case. Oh, I don't know. It's funny. In all the road shows we've ever done, I think we've only had one guy actually, and he didn't really get out of line. He just yelled at AJ for calling a woman a chick until he found out AJ was a veteran, and it changed his whole perspective. But people are usually pretty cool when we're out and about. So
that's good. Yeah. That's good. That's good. I get a little bit of a bad rap for my temper and whatnot, but I've learned to control it over the years.
I did get accosted one time by a guy, oddly enough, outside of Specs. Shocker that I would be going to Specs to buy something.
What?
And nah. He just walked up and said, I just want you to know I hate your show. I think you're arrogant. I think you're this and this. And tell that Fowler guy I hate him too. It's like, okay, yeah, I don't know how you mixed us up, but okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
It's kind of hard to mix y'all up.
Yeah, I mean,
I mean, that almost is like, I could see if y'all were black because, you know, most people, oh, all black people look alike. But, like, y'all are two totally different age ranges, two totally different body types, you know, two totally different voices and whatnot.
See, that the voice thing, though, a lot of people said they got confused by us at first, that we sounded a lot alike, which I don't see, but.
No, not at all.
But I also think. Yeah, I'm not listening to both of us that way because I know how he sounds and how I sound, and I don't see it, but hey, whatever. So one of the hot topics has been the whole Kyrie Irving wanting to get traded, and then it comes out, oh, well, LeBron's the one who leaked it, and now LeBron wants to fight him. What the hell's going on with all this?
Here's the thing. Okay. First, why in the hell does Kyrie want to get traded? And of all the teams you want to go to the Spurs. You might have a chance of dethroning the Warriors. Might. Not a whole lot, but you might. The Knicks, the Heat, the Timberwolves were the only team on that list that I say, you know what, that sounds promising. Because when I look at the T-Wolves, if you could find a way, let's say they put Andrew Wiggins, some picks and whatever else, a bag of basketballs and some popcorn, and give them Kyrie, and you know, they make that trade. That team with Kyrie Irving, Jimmy Butler, Karl Anthony Towns, that's a formidable team who's going to be there for a little while and who can probably make some things happen. They're young enough to hang with Golden State while they're still growing together and grow together. Tibbs going to have them playing good defense. The Spurs, I don't know what the hell they're thinking. They're trying to get rid of LaMarcus Aldridge. You re-up Pau Gasol, who's already older than dirt, for 3 more years. I mean, Pau can only play for so much longer. Who else do they have that they're going to trade to get Kyrie that's going to be left on that team to say, hey, me, Kawhi and Kyrie can get something done. The Heat are a non-factor, and the Knicks are a hot dumpster fire. They have Porzingis and nothing else. So do you just want to be the man and be recognized as the man that bad that you want to leave what you already have a good thing? I mean, that's almost like if you're married to a supermodel, but you know what? I'm just tired of this supermodel. I want to go out and marry a lunch lady. What sense does that make? That makes absolutely no sense to me. Like, you're leaving one of the most beautiful, high-paying women in the world, if she's a good woman, to go and be married to Hilda, the lunch lady? Like, really? What sense does that make? That makes no sense to me. I just don't get it. It doesn't make sense.
Well, if the lunch lady, though, is like a total freak in bed and the supermodel isn't, I could see it. It depends on what your standards are. Okay. What you're looking for.
Okay. I mean,
listen.
Hey, to each his own.
Well, man.
To each his own.
I'd rather have, well, I mean, ideally you'd have both, but.
Here's the thing. Here's another angle at that also. Some people think that there could be underlying reasons for Kyrie wanting to leave. Like, you know, him getting tired of LeBron being treated and held to a certain standard. And he signed that extension before LeBron agreed to come back to Cleveland. He signed that extension with the thought of, they're going to build the team around me. Not even a month later, the team gets the best player in the world and say, hey, I want to come and play for you. Ball game changes at that point. You know, sometimes you just got to know when to check your ego at the door and say, hey, you know what? I've been to 3 straight finals. I won a ring. We have a really good shot at getting back to another finals. You know, maybe we could find a way to knock Golden State off if you know, I can get somebody to Jeff Galooly, Steph Curry, or something like that. But, I mean, you have a better chance at winning and creating a better legacy for yourself if you stay where you are. Why do you want to leave? I don't know. It just seems very odd to me.
There's got to be something personal going on here.
There has
to be. Whether somebody banged somebody's girlfriend or daughter or something like that. Something or somebody's mom. That's happened before.
It's happened before.
Not that I want to bring that up again, but hey.
Happened before. Yeah. But there was a rumor out there, I believe on one of those gossip sites, that says LeBron banged Kyrie's girl and he found out about it and it got him all emotional and so he's upset about that. There's also the speculation that, you know, Kyrie is seeing the tea leaves and seeing the writing on the wall, the way Dan Gilbert runs the operation there, and LeBron is only obligated to the team through this upcoming season. If he thinks that LeBron's going to leave him, he's like, no, you can't leave me if I leave you first. You know, it's kind of like who filed the divorce papers. So you're going to get a divorce anyway, so it's just who filed the papers first.
Yeah, you don't bang a teammate's girlfriend. Unless the teammate says it's okay. Says, hey, yeah, go ahead, man, which some of them do.
But I wouldn't even do that because that seems like a trap.
Could be.
That's
like if your wife comes up and says, hey, I want you to sleep with my friend, and then you do it, and she's like, you son of a – yeah.
Nope.
Just
nope.
Say no. Here's a question. Here's a nice random question from a texter. Guys, I want your opinion on an issue. When you double date with another couple to a sporting event, how do you arrange the seating? You go guy, girl, guy, or do you let the guys and women pair up?
What type of table are you sitting at?
Well, I assume booth? We're talking about at a game, so you're probably in seats where you can't. You're sitting next to each other.
Okay.
Girl, guy.
Yeah. And you know what else? The stronger couple sits further apart.
Yeah.
Like, I know sometimes my wife, she can. Sometimes she doesn't mind. Just depends on who we're going out with. She won't mind being apart from me. But if we're going out with people she doesn't really know, she wants me right there. So if we're going out with one of our friends that we know, we hang out with a lot, she wouldn't care being separated from me. So it wouldn't really matter. But you got to figure out, you know, who's the stronger couple, who can stand being away from each other and who has to be next to each other.
Or who wants to be away from each other.
I didn't want to go there.
I'll go there. No, but for some reason, it's not really an issue because my wife's pretty social with everybody, so she can sit anywhere. Yeah. She doesn't care. She's going to be friendly up until she starts talking politics. But, yeah, I would say that you put – now, here's an instance where what if you're better friends – with the girl than you are the husband or boyfriend.
Oof.
It's kind of a tough one, right? Because I might want to sit next to them and talk to them during the game.
That's when it gets tricky. That's when it can get tricky. I mean, I've had – this is the reason why I was hesitant to start a Facebook page in the first place. Because I had a bit of a reputation. Just leave it at that. And I tend to have had more girl – female friends than guy friends that I'm close with. So I was hesitant to start a Facebook page because I didn't want my wife to see me like, how come all of you have 400 friends and 300 of them are girls? But I have friends that I'm really cool with that are married now. They have husbands, families, whatever. And the husband, significant other, whatever, I'm like, okay. But I'd rather talk to her. I don't want to talk to this guy. I don't really like this guy. So that can get a little bit tricky.
Yeah, although most of the really cool women that I'm friends with hooked up with cool dudes. So I've gotten to be friends with them too.
Yeah.
But yeah, and people wonder how do you determine which couple sits the furthest apart? I think the most comfortable couple or the ones that have been together the longest.
Right. The most comfortable, the ones that have been together the longest are the ones who can't stand each other the most.
Yeah. Well, like I said, in my case, it doesn't matter because my wife loves talking to people. So she'll chat up whomever, and then, you know, we'll talk later. It's not that big a deal. But
yeah, once my wife gets to opening her mouth and she finds out y'all have something in common, that's a wrap. And I got to, like, crowbar her away from the conversation. Like, okay, it's time to go. I'm tired. I'm hungry. I'm ready to leave now.
All right, we're going to take a very quick break. Jermaine Avery filling in, doing a great job. Chris Whitmire is on his way. And that traffic was going to get him.
Where's he coming from?
Well, he's coming from the distillery, which is up by Sam Houston Race Park.
Oh,
so he's on 610 at San Felipe parking lot. So I'm going to predict that it's going to be 515.
515?
Yeah, that's. What do you think, Jong? Over under 515?
I'm going to go over.
Okay.
I'm going to be optimistic and take the under. I'm going to get here at like 513.
All right. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 975.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Anxious about the recent election and the impact on your business? Let HRNP help you navigate through the uncertainty.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, your home for Aggie sports. Stay sportsy,
bitches. One of these days I'm going to get him to say that. Or just sports. Mr. Sarcastic says, if she isn't comfortable with you having a Facebook page or more female friends before you were together, then she's not the one.
No, we were already together, and she already knew the reputation that had preceded me. She found out everything. I told her everything, and she encouraged me to do it. She was like, no, it'll be fun. You should do it. You should do it. I'm like, all right.
We'll see.
She hasn't said anything about it. I was the one who was all nervous and skittish and being a wimp about it, and she was like, no, just do it. It'll be fun. She hasn't said not one word since.
D says you go guy, girl, girl, guy. Now, okay, I'll make a little bit of case for D being right on that. I'm in a game. I don't like to talk to people. I like to watch the damn game. So I could see that. You put the girls together, you let them talk, and you just reach over and high-five
especially,
your buddy.
Exactly. Especially if y'all are both the same kind of way. You want to watch the game, focus on the game, and you're more into the game itself.
More importantly, if you're like I am and the other guy won't shut up about the game, that works even better.
Exactly. Like, yeah, I hate going to a sporting event or something like that and somebody is constantly asking questions or they want to talk about everything else but the game. Like, no, please don't sit next to me. Just go somewhere else. I will get up and go stand in the concourse and watch the game from there.
Well, to me, baseball is a little bit different because it is a more social, slower game.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of breaks in the action. Now, I prefer you not talk to me when Jose Altuve is up building on his Hall of Fame career.
Exactly.
But for the most part, there's plenty of time during a baseball game. Football to me is completely different. I don't like talking to anybody during football. I don't like it when people are texting me during football games either. It's like, oh, did you see that? No, I didn't see that. Duh.
I'm at the game, idiot. Yes, I did see it. I mean, goodness gracious. But, I mean, during football, I'm like analyzing the game and I'm like, you know, oh, that looked like that was a cover two and this safety blew the coverage and that's why they got deep or, you know, something like that. And most of the time I'm talking over whoever's head I'm sitting with and they're like totally clueless as to what I'm saying. So I'll just shut up about it because if I can't talk football with you on that level, I'd just rather not talk football.
Well, that's why I wind up watching the game usually three times. I watch it live and I'm responding to people and then I'm preparing to write an article while I'm doing it. So there's times when you're kind of focused on other things. And then I'll go back and watch it again later that night, usually after a few adult beverages. And then one more time on Monday.
You know what? The adult beverages, honestly, sometimes they give you a different perspective on the game than if you're watching it live and you're concentrating sober and you're trying to pay attention. I have seen and noticed different things.
I just know I'm a hell of a lot less patient with Bill O'Brien when I've been drinking. Kind of play call was that? Jeez, get that ostrich out of there. What the hell?
Yeah, it's happened, especially on that third and 16 when Akeem Hunt ran for that first down. I was reading part of that article you sent us earlier. On that specific play, I was like, what the hell was that? And as soon as I got the what the hell was that out of my mouth and I got that look on my face and then he gets the first down, I'm like, oh, well, okay. It worked for you that time, Billy boy, but stop doing that.
Hey, the one time it worked out of 10, great. Yeah,
I mean, you
it's like going all in with pocket twos every time. Yeah, you're gonna hit a set one of these days. Keep going.
Have you guessed that happened on Heartland?
No, the guy kept folding. I mean, heads up, he's folding aces and stuff pre-flop. I'm like, what the hell? Yeah, sorry, don't get me started. But he won like $40,000 for that, so he must have done something right to get there.
You know, sometimes I notice with poker, it's just dumb luck. Like, some people just do stupid stuff. And I don't know what the strategy and all that behind it is. I rely on the commentators and people that I know, like you guys, to say, you know, that was stupid or no, that was a good move. But sometimes I think it's just dumb luck.
Well, you got to keep in mind, for those guys to get there, to get as far as they did, they had to play really well, and things had to go right for them. You had to get a little lucky, too. And we saw that with the guy who won the main event. I mean, he caught cards. You have to do that if you're going to win a tournament like that. But it's also easy to sit back, and when you haven't seen the whole thing, like sometimes a guy has been bluffed out of a couple hands, or he's the other player has set him up a little bit, and so his folds may look stupid, but in reality, there's a thought process behind all of it. And you know, and it's real easy to be critical when you're sitting there and seeing both cards, but in general, you know, when you get that deep in a tournament, you've played pretty well to get there, or you've been extremely lucky, or both. And, you know, that's a pretty good payday. I just, you know, I do find it frustrating when you see guys in that situation. And what I'll do when I see a guy do that two or three times in a row and make a fold, that I go, what the hell? I'll start covering up the other guy's cards and thinking how I would play them. And it's like, okay, I'm raising here. And then you look up, it's like, oh, I've had him beat. What the hell? Oh, well.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's a strategy to it, and, you know, there's certain situations where you have certain tendencies and whatnot, but let's say if you have a certain tendency, or there's like a certain play that most people would make in that situation, do you ever deviate from that strategy just to kind of break the monotony and kind of throw the other person off?
All the time. I mean, part of it's hard to win a poker tournament if you're just playing ABC poker all the way through. You can survive a long way, but you have to change your game based on the players at the table. And that's why when we used to do the poker show and people ask, how do you play this hand? It's like, well, and the answer was always, it depends. Depends on the table. Depends right. on the position. And in general, you know, there is that element of luck to it. You can do everything right and wind up losing. You can do everything wrong and wind up winning sometimes. But over time, if you make the right moves and are creative in the right situations, you're going to be fine. And I think that it all depends on a given situation and the players you're playing with. And yeah, if you play everything, like, you know, people got one of the tournaments when we were out in Vegas, the one that I won, guy got mad at me for making a pretty sick call. And the reality was, you know, I'm doing the math in my head, and I know how this guy's been playing, and I think there's a pretty good chance that I've got him beat. And it's not something most people would have called with, down to three-handed with everybody with about the same chips. But it was the right play at that time. And is it something I would do 18 times out of or 8 times out of 20? No. I'll do it about twice out of 20. But at that point, yeah.
It's almost like dialing up a blitz in the perfect situation.
Yeah.
Most times you wouldn't dial up that blitz. You'd play a zone or some sort of man or whatever. But, you know, hey, if I dial up this blitz at this time, I know I can get to the quarterback.
It's like if you're going to let J.J. Watt play quarterback 10 times and run that play, sooner or later he'll get it in, right? But there's a time for that and there's a time not to do it. But
that just saying that makes me want to drink J.J. Watt playing quarterback.
Yeah, you know what? We'll have you taken care of, because at some point, my man Chris Whitmire is going to be here. And I bet he's going to bring something.
You know, so. I mean, there's a time to be creative, and there's a time not to be creative.
But getting back to poker, if you really watch the great players, they'll do a lot of things that make you scratch your head sometimes.
Yeah.
Because you don't understand the full context of why they did it. And because you don't see everything. That's why I liked the way they did the World Series this year, where, it was pretty continuous. And you could see where guys were getting information later, like, oh, yeah, this is the hand he had here. This is the hand he had here against you. And then they start playing it accordingly. And that's what great players do. And you've got to be really good to be able to do that. All right, guys, tell you what, you want to do something really good? Help out Houston Can Academies. And if you're not familiar with Houston Can Academies, these guys take in kids who dropped out of other schools, good kids. A lot of them had to get jobs to support their family. They had problems with transportation, all kinds of issues that couldn't get them to school. Well, Houston Cann Academies takes them in. They work around those issues, and they give them another chance. And so many of them go on and do great things. And these opportunities that they get allow them to go on and graduate and go on and do great things. And it just makes us a better society and a better community. And they need your help. School's about to start again, and now's the time. And by your help, they just need a donation. And we're talking about cars, we're talking about trucks, motorcycles, boats, RVs, tractors, four-wheelers. You got something sitting out in the garage that hasn't started up in 2 years, and you don't know what to do with it, and you're thinking, I need to either fix it up or get rid of it. Just donate it, because here's what they're going to do. They're going to come tow it free of charge, process all the paperwork. You're basically just signing a piece of paper, and your donation is tax deductible. How about that? So next year on your taxes, that's going to look really, really good. And if you donate today, a $50 Visa gift card. And if you tell them you heard about it on the Blitz, you're going to get that gift card. And it doesn't matter where you are. You can be over in Beaumont. You can be in Vidor. If you're in any of those places, you can be in Nacogdoches, San Marcos. They'll come and tow it free of charge. Just give them a call right now, 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226. Or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5.